Okay, Narada Muni has arrived at Dwarka. He is explaining what he's seeing. As he's looking at the Yadavas, the Yadus. 693, chapter 5, part 1, Srimad Bhagavatamrita, the Beloved. Anyonyam chittana mukti kedibir hasato muda suryam akramatak swabihi prabhavir madhuri mayan. The Yadavas laughed among one another and exchanged clever jokes and quips. The effulgence of their bodies surpassing that of the sun, their personalities full of charm. Commentary. Although the light radiating from the bodies of the Yadus was more brilliant than the sun, that effulgence, unlike the sun's globes, did not pain the eyes. Because of the Yadu's very gentle and pleasing natures. Yesterday we discussed how the soul is actually effulgent by nature. The spiritual energy is effulgent by nature. In the spiritual world there's no darkness. We're living in the material atmosphere, and this material universe and all the material universes are covered by layers of material energy. And that on this now, we changed it like this because that way we're all this way, you know, the speaker's looking over here, and if he keeps going like this, we're going to get stiff-necked looking. And also everybody can come forward in the future, and that way when the doors are open, everyone can, you know, everyone can be more with the deities and more, not so much tucked up and stuff. I took the liberty. Hare Krishna. So then, but if you sit way in the back there, I'm going to feel bad, because if I'm not close to you, I can't be inspired. You can't sit there the same place and then. I think so. Yeah. If you sit there, because you only have two, only Mukunda and Chanchala. But when there's more, then that's another thing. If there's a whole bunch, then they can sit back there. Yeah. See now how nice it is. No, but this is okay. This is okay. So each material universe is covered by the like layers of the material energy. You know, earth. The first one's earth, very solid, and that prevents the light from the spiritual sky from coming into the material world. And therefore, we're living in darkness. And only reflection of the spiritual sky comes into the material universe through the incarnations of Krishna and through the souls proper. When they come into the material world, there's some light. Maybe you had experience. You're in a dark room, you have your eyes closed, and you close your eyes and you can see some light inside. Because the soul is actually effulgent. So we're covered by this universe, this little universe. So the whole universe is covered in the same way. And the soul of the universe, actually, the soul of the universe, Krishna, Shri Dagashaya Vishnu, and Garbha Dagashaya Vishnu, they're there in each universe providing light. And of course the sun is an incarnation of Vishnu and provides light for the whole, external light for the whole universe. So that's the situation. So here, we're reading 94, text 90, no. Yeah, 93. Yeah. Here we're seeing that Narada is noticing that the Yadavas are very, not only are they effulgent, but they're very happy. Part of being effulgent is being jolly. In the Bhagavad Gita, it describes Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nashochikti nakangshiti. A person who is actually situated on the spiritual platform doesn't lament and doesn't hanker. He doesn't lament for the things that he's lost, for the things he, and he doesn't hanker for things that he may not have yet. Because the spiritually advanced person has Krishna, associating with Krishna. The Yadavas here, what are they doing? They're in the assembly hall, and what are they waiting for? They're waiting for Krishna. Because every day Krishna comes from all of his palaces. You know, he expands himself into 16,108 forms, and he goes into all his palaces, and he associates with his queens and their servants and the entourage of each palace. Imagine kind of arrangements. You think it's difficult to manage one little ashram with 10 brahmacharis. They have to Krishna has to manage, you know, 16,108 palaces with thousands of maidservants in each one. It's like beyond our conception. And then at the end of the, in the beginning of the day, you know, he comes from all those palaces and he comes into one form. And he enters into the assembly hall. And he sits in his court, and he's surrounded by all the Yadavas. So they're waiting for Krishna to come. So they're close to Krishna. They have Krishna. You know, therefore they're not only satisfied, they're completely free. They're completely joyful. So, as neophyte devotees, as devotees who are aspiring for the spiritual platform, we should understand that we're meant to follow in the footsteps of the spiritual personalities in the spiritual world. That doesn't mean that we should try to imitate them. We should not try to imitate them means we should not try to be like them in all respects while we're here. You can't imitate the Yadus or the Rajvasis. They are completely in a transcendental position. But because their example is so perfect and attractive, we should try as best we can, according to our own capacity, you know, to follow in the footsteps of these personalities. So we can actually cultivate qualities. It's possible. Possible. We can do this. We can cultivate qualities. In the beginning of devotional service, our activities are regulated by rules and by the order of the spiritual master and by the framework of the, especially the archan seva, the service of the deities. So we have a very regulated life. We're doing the same things every day, you see. So unless we actually open ourselves and advance in spiritual life, then that regulation will tend to get mechanical. It will tend to get covered by tradition or just habit. We'll do things out of habit. And when you do things out of habit, it's very easy for the mind to go other places while you're doing something. You know, when you have a... when you first start to do something... I remember when I first came to the temple and I had to remember to put on the tilak every time, because I had never done that before. I mean, some of you are born in this culture, so it's maybe more easy for you, more natural. But for those of us who came, you know, to spiritual life in this culture for the first time, when we first came, we had to learn how to put on the tilak right. Of course, everyone, when we're children, we have to learn how to do everything from scratch, from the beginning. But I remember I was very absorbed. I had to remember to be in the temple room at a certain time. I had to learn all these prayers. I had to learn how to put on my dhoti, you know. So like that, we're in the beginning, we get absorbed in the actual physical things we have to do, and it's easier for us to chant without offense. We feel this ecstasy when we first come. Remember when you first came and you feel this ecstasy? Part of that is due to the fact that we were absorbed. But then, when you come to the point where you're accustomed to the spiritual activities and to the, all the different, you know, details of what you have to do, then it's easier for the mind to go other places. You see? So therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yato, yato, nishchalati, manas chanchalamastiram. Chanchal. We have our chanchal, Krishna. So the word chanchala means flickering, whimsical. Of course, that's another meaning of the word chanchal. Chanchal can also mean, you know, carefree and funny. Like here, the yadus are joking with one another. They're at ease. They're not like, you know, afraid of the next little thing that's going to happen that they're going to do wrong, and you know what's going to, you know, they're not motivated by fear. They're relaxed. They're natural. They're carefree because they've already, you know, followed all the rules and regulations, and they've come out the other side. Well, anyway, these are eternal associates of Krishna. They don't ever have to go through those procedures. But what I'm saying is, from our point of view, we should see that this is the goal. You know, the goal is to become like the associates of the Lord. Not that we try to imitate being a particular associate of the Lord, but we try to follow in their footsteps by coming to the platform of spontaneous devotion. We can't just stay in the same place all the time, in the platform of fear and rules and regulations. We have to go forward. Satatam kirtiyantam yatantas chadvidavrataha namasyantas chamam bhaktya. So didami buddhi yogam tam priti purvakam priti. We have to do our service with love and devotion. You know, when Krishna sees that we're doing our service with love and devotion, then he reciprocates with us. And when he reciprocates with us, that's what gives us the real thing, the real sense of liberation. The real sense of liberation. Not that I'm going to merge myself into some light and become free from all the complexities of action and reaction and all those things. You know, real liberation means that I am acting with Krishna. I'm interacting in relationship with Krishna. And I'm free. The yadus here are exhibiting the symptoms of real spiritual liberation. They are liberated souls. And therefore, their bodies are effulgent. They are at ease. They are laughing with one another. They're exchanging clever jokes and quips. And their personalities are charming. They're full of charm. We can't imitate it. You know, we can't imitate it. But by seeking out personalities who are more advanced than we are in that way, then we should learn how to follow in the footsteps. Just like here in Govardhan, we have this opportunity. We have sometimes sannyasis and gurus coming, you know, and you can see them and you can watch how they interact with one another. You can watch how they deal with one another. It's not that you're supposed to be like this, you know, like a horse with blinders, you know, and you're not supposed to look. We're supposed to watch souls who are more advanced, who are more natural in their devotional lives. And just by watching and by aspiring, by being moved by them, by inspired by them, then you will develop. This is the principle of mercy. By mercy you'll develop those qualities. But if we don't seek that out, and if we don't accept the association of personalities who are more advanced than us and who are liberated from the basic, you know, perplexities of material existence, then we will stay in the same place, and then our service will become mechanical and the anxiety will grow, and we will no longer feel comfortable in a spiritual atmosphere. If we're feeling uncomfortable in the spiritual atmosphere, it means we're being attacked by Maya. Maya is still trying to lure us into the material atmosphere. A devotee feels uncomfortable in the material atmosphere and comfortable in the spiritual atmosphere. So if you begin to feel uncomfortable in the material, in the spiritual atmosphere, that means you need to check, you need to get closer to personalities who are closer to being like these personalities that we're reading about. And you have to read about these personalities, and you have to allow yourself. There's something that happens from our side. It's not mechanical. It's not automatic. Devotional service is not mechanical. It's not automatic. It requires, from our side, something. So from within ourselves, we have to cultivate the eagerness and the desire, and then the practical nuances of the dealings, beginning with keeping the sayings of the deities more and more nice, more and more personal, thinking more and more how to do things, how to make it nicer, how to increase the standard of everything, from the decoration to the quality of the fragrances. And, you know, not like just now, I was just watching, I looked at the altar and I realized we have to make a singasan for Gorni Thai. Been there for a long time now. They need singasan. Acha. In Jaipur? One in one. Acha. Acha. I'm not so sure. Anyway, that's another issue. But we'll talk about that later. Nice. Okay. So anyway, I'm just saying. So this is what we're talking about, where you use your brain. You know, we're not blind followers. You can't advance in devotional service by being blind followers. You have to use your intelligence. You have to use the resources that you have, that you've been given, in service to Krishna. It may be that not everyone's the same. It doesn't come out in the same way with every person. But the principle of using what we have fully in Krishna service will result in qualities like this that we're reading about in Briya Bhagavatamrita. So, text 94. Nana vida mahadivya vibhushana vichitpita kamschit prabhasyaso yeso navayovanamapita Shri Krishna Nabaranam Boja Sudhatriptan Abhikshnashaha. Many kinds of precious ornaments decorated the Yadavas, and even some of the most elderly members of the assembly had obtained new youth by constantly enjoying the nectar of Krishna's lotus face. Commentary, Digdarshini. The perpetual youth of even the oldest among the Yadus is affirmed by Shukadeva Goswami. Tatra prabhajaso yeshan yashan yuvano ti balaujasa hibanto chair mukundasya mukambuja sudhambuho. Even the most elderly residents of the city appeared youthful, full of strength and vitality. For with their eyes, they constantly drank the elixir of Lord Mukunda's lotus face. Bhagavatam 10:45-19. So this is very interesting. There was a character in history from Spain. His name was Ponce de Leon. And he went to the West looking for the fountain of youth. You know about that? There's always stories in the history of the earth of places you can go and bathe in some pond and become youthful again and drink some nectar, elixir. It's all coming from the Bhagavatam. All coming from Veda scriptures. In the heavenly planets, they drink soma ras, and the soma ras actually gives youth vitality, keeps one from aging, all these things. Now they have a huge industry, the cosmetic industry. They just cover it up, you know. When the wrinkles start coming, you know, they make a cut here and they pull it all together and then sew it. So the face, you know, doesn't look so wrinkled. And there's one very famous personality in the West called Michael Jackson. Have you heard of him? He's had so many times facial, you know, alterations that now he looks like a monster. You look at him and you're like, you know, his face, you know, his nose is like this and it's falling apart, you know. You know, he's had it changed so many times it no longer can hang together, you know. So this is all their expression of the desire to stay young. So here, the secret of staying young is being described. So we may say, yes, but that's, you know, the yadavas. What about us? We have these bodies. We cannot stay young. That's true. Our bodies will age. Srila Prabhupada's body even aged. But if you look at pictures of Srila Prabhupada carefully, you'll see that even when his body became, you know, wrinkled and old, it was youthful. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. He had this effulgence. It was so youthful that it would almost, you couldn't see it. You couldn't even look sometimes. It was so effulgent. But this effulgence, as it's described here in the previous commentary, the spiritual effulgence is different than material effulgence, because spiritual effulgence doesn't hurt the eyes. If you try to look at the sun with a naked eye, it hurts your eyes. You can't look. But a person who's spiritually effulgent, the deity's spiritually effulgent person, it doesn't hurt the eyes. You can look forever. And what happens is when you look and you keep your mind and your eyes focused on the deities, you become youthful. Even if the material body is aging, still you become youthful. You get a different quality. Srila Prabhupada used to say that the bodies of the devotees, they stay youthful and they stay effulgent if they're strict. If you're strict. If you're not, that's another issue. But if you stay strict, if you actually ajay Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Shri Giri Raj Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Ho, if you stay strict, not in a mechanical way, but in a heartfelt way, then you taste this nectar, you taste this youthfulness. Prabhupada could feel comfortable with anybody. He would feel just as comfortable with a young child as he would with an old, you know, like, venerable, you know, scholar. He felt just as comfortable with everyone. And everyone therefore felt comfortable with him. This is part of spiritual effulgence. And where does that spiritual effulgence come from? In the beginning, it comes reflected from our hearts, from personalities who are effulgent, from the deities, from advanced devotees. This is called shadow attachment. In the Nectar of Devotion, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada calls shadow attachment, it's like the reflection of the qualities of advanced persons, like the sun and the moon. The sun's shining, the moon's reflecting the light. So in the beginning of devotional service, when you come in contact with the deities and with advanced devotees, then there's some effulgence that comes. It's not really coming from you, it's being reflected from the hearts of others who are actually tasting Krishna consciousness. This is the reason why Prakriti Bhaktas or Abhas, Bhakta Abhas, devotees who are not really devotees but who are almost devotees, who want to be devotees, who are pious, they are classified as devotees, so that real devotees will associate with them. Because in that association, if you do that properly, without offending one another, without succumbing to the temptations of finding unnecessary fault and offending one another, then the effulgence grows and grows, and it becomes coming from you rather than just being reflected from someone else. This is an important part of the science of devotional service. And this is what keeps our service from becoming mechanical. So what is the dynamic? What is the dynamic? How is this happening? I mean, you can be in a room full of people and you cannot interact. You cannot take their association. What is the dynamic? Someone has an idea? How is it happening? I see, we've got a room full of impersonalists. It's happening by exchange, by loving exchange. By loving exchange, what is loving exchange? What is loving exchange? How is loving exchange? He's quoted the verse, the right verse, just what I was thinking of. Didami buddhigridati guyam prichitya. You offer a gift. You receive a gift in return. You offer some prasad. You receive prasad in return. And most important, you reveal your mind and you inquire confidentially. See, you can't do that if you're thinking negatively about someone. You can't take up the science of devotional service if in your mind you're always absorbed in thinking negative thoughts about others. Why? Because your mind will never think how to do something for the other person. You'll never think to reveal your heart to the person. You'll never think to inquire confidentially. What do you think? How are you doing? Are you all right? You know, when Gopakumar in the second part, when Gopakumar finally made it to Goloka Vrindavan and met Krishna, and Krishna, there was this, you know, this very wonderful emotional loving exchange between Gopakumar and Krishna, and then when finally that was all over and they were holding hands and walking into Nandagaon, you know, Krishna was inquiring from Gopakumar, how are you? Are you feeling well? Are you alright? You know, he didn't ask him, well, how many shlokas did you memorize while you were in the material world? Or, I mean, I'm not trying to downplay memorizing shlokas. I'm not trying to downplay performing austerities. I'm not trying to downplay the regulated principles of devotional service. Jai Sri Sri Gonitai. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. I'm not trying to downplay the rules and regulations of devotional service, but what I am trying to emphasize is that we're doing that for a purpose. We're doing these things for a purpose. Niyamagraha means if you follow all the rules and regulations strictly, but you're not doing it with the right purpose, you'll fall down. And if you neglect doing the regulative principles, if you neglect following the rules and regulations, you'll also fall down. So we have to wake up to this truth that we're here and we've taken up this devotional life, and we've agreed to restrict our senses and to follow rules and regulations and to cultivate knowledge and cultural, you know, activity for the purpose of becoming like the residents of the Yadus or the Brajbasis or whatever our destination is, our spiritual destination. And Krishna will reveal that to us if we take up this process properly. What is the dynamic? The dynamic is in this loving exchange. Here, it's described that the Yadavas they're sitting at ease and they're laughing and they're joking with one another. They're intimate. They know what each other's thinking. It's not that everybody's going around, you know, like this. You know, nobody talks to anybody else. Nobody knows what anybody else is thinking. And it only comes out every 6 months when it breaks out in a political war. Right? Everybody goes around busily doing their duties and thinking all kinds of negative thoughts about everybody else. And then at one point, they get overwhelmed by their offenses. And then, then it breaks out some political warfare, political activity, or political situation. And then the whole atmosphere is disturbed, and everybody's in anxiety. And, you know, it's harder and harder to do even the basic, easy things in devotional service. This is happening because we're not actually taking the process of devotional service. We're taking devotional service as something external. We're taking devotional service for the wrong reason. We're not here to become great souls so that we can become acharyas and have a mat and, you know, attract followers and get wealth and live comfortably. We're not here for that purpose. We're here to satisfy Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, our own Guru Maharaj, and Krishna Balaram, Radha and Krishna, Gaur Nitai. We're here to please, and the other devotees. Think about it, just think about it. How often, how many times a day do you think about doing something helpful for another devotee? Most devotees don't. Why? Because they're too much absorbed in keeping their own thing together. They're too much like trying to keep their own selves from, you know, doing something wrong that's going to keep them, you know, that's going to cause them some problem. So we have to go beyond this. This is the point I'm making. We have to stay strict in our principles. We have to follow everything strictly. But we have to go beyond this. Tesham sadada yuktanam. Krishna says, you should always be absorbed in devotional service. You should always be doing devotional service. Tesham sadada yuktanam. Yuktanam means to do the service. Tesham sadada yuktanam. Bhajatam priti purvakam. But you have to do that with love. If you don't like the other person, if you're envious of the other person, if you want the other person's position, you cannot serve in love. And if that person's more advanced than you, then you will automatically offend, and eventually, you'll fall down. Eventually. You can only stay pretending for so long. You have to take the process of devotional service up internally, sincerely. Prabhupada used to tell us, the only qualification really is sincerity. Some people may be highly qualified, some people may not be qualified at all. Just the simplest person can become the most qualified devotee by sincerity. Means, okay, so we don't have exactly classroom type situations where this is happening in ISKCON in different places. They're trying to have more educational kind of, you know, way of doing things. But really, unless we try our best to follow in the footsteps of more advanced devotees, and that doesn't mean just walk around and, you know, tie your dhoti in the same way and, you know, like walk in the same way and smile in the same way as your guru and, you know, try to become a clone of your guru. No. We're not trying to become clones of our gurus. We're trying to follow in the footsteps of our gurus, and we're trying to become ourselves. This is what self-realization means. We're trying to become ourselves, meaning that the devotional service comes from your heart. Bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami. And then what happens? Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna gives you the intelligence. You can't get this spiritual intelligence out of a book or just by, you know, paying a fee or by happening to be in the right time at the right place. You understand? You can't gate crash, you know, Goloka Vrindavan. You know, these big people who have these big parties, and then there's a professional group of people, professional gate crashers. You know, they want to go in and drink the booze and associate with the women and all those crazy things that they do. And they want, but they don't have the qualification, they don't have the ticket. So they manufacture tickets or they figure out some way, they're called gate crashers. You can't gate crash into Goloka Vrindavan. You actually have to take the process. And the essence of the process, the essence of the process is to perform devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna, and particularly, especially for the pleasure of Krishna's pure devotees. Because when you do your service in reality for the pleasure of pure devotees, they become very kind upon you, they become merciful, and they give you the understanding from within your heart. This is revealed knowledge. And with that revealed knowledge, when you do learn the shlokas, when you do become more knowledgeable, it takes a whole other dimension. It takes a whole other dimension, and that's what this effulgence is being talked about here. The effulgence of the yadus. They're effulgent because they're in love with Krishna. And they're in love with one another. It says here, in the end of the commentary, to text 91, the heavenly hall, Sudharma, and the priceless jewels, garments, and parijata garlands added nothing to the natural beauty of their transcendental bodies, which shone with the splendor of their pure love for Krishna and for one another. This is the fountain of youth. And when you associate with Krishna with this in mentality, when you focus your mind on the holy name, when you focus your mind on the deities and on Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Briya Bhagavatamrita, and the prayers that you offer, in that consciousness of loving service, what happens? You become youthful. You become effulgent. You become more than satisfied. You become juicy. This is what rasa means. Rasa means juice. You become full of juice. You become full of juice by getting close to those who are juicy. You become effulgent by standing in the pathway of those who are effulgent, voluntarily agreeing to follow in their footsteps and hanker to please them. Go out of your way to do something to please them, to please the deities, to please the spiritual master, to please the advanced Vaishnavas who are situated in this consciousness and whose effulgence or whose association. Here, effulgence can mean association. Usanga uplifts your consciousness. It's called payback. It's not fruitive. It's not fruitive. It's payback in the sense that when you get something wonderful from someone, you're indebted and you want to pay back. You want to serve. You want to give loving service. You want to help the person in the mission. So, full of strength, full of vitality, full of youthful energy. This is what happens when you become a devotee and actually take up devotional service with love. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions?
When human beings say school needs to pray, similarly, very early, also, man, geyser, energy, okay. Why soul does not leave the world?
Excuse me? When the soul leaves the body, it goes out through one of the gates. So, while we're alive, when our mouths open, why doesn't the soul come out? The soul is not in the body in a mechanical way. The soul is transcendentally situated. It's not like a spark plug in an automobile engine. It's resting in subtle errors in the body. And when the subtle errors are disturbed and they break, then the soul leaves the body. Great souls, they leave the body when they want to, the way they want to, from the hole that they want to. Demons, they leave through the anus. Great souls, yogis, they leave through this aperture here. And Vaishnavas usually leave from here, because they're chanting Hare Krishna. Because they want to go with Krishna. The answer to the question is that the soul is not mechanically in the body. This is not a mechanical arrangement. The soul is there, the super soul is there, you're there for a reason. You've been put here for a reason, and there's a certain amount of time that you're allowed to stay in the body in order to prosecute that reason, that purpose. The purpose ultimately is to become Krishna conscious and to go back to the spiritual world. So until that time is that you're destined is up, you can't leave the body. We're like in a prison. That's why we don't come out. Those things are decided by higher authorities. Daiva Netrena. Higher authorities decide when you're going to leave. Unless you become liberated and get special mercy from Krishna, then you can leave when you want. Go where you want. That's the purpose of devotional service. To cultivate the desire to want to go back to Krishna, and to go back to Krishna when you leave your body. So the answer is that you don't go out of the body just because you open your mouth. Whoops! There it goes. Because that is not the way it's organized by Krishna. Maya Jakshana Prakriti. Suyate Sacharacharam. The material nature is being conducted by Krishna. Mama Maya Duratyaya. It's Krishna's Maya. It's acting only under Krishna's direction. Okay? Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. What to do when you see faults of others? Ignore them. And look for the good qualities. There's two kinds of insects, flies and bees, honeybees. The flies, they look for the sores, and the honeybees look for the honey. So those who have fly-like minds, they always look for the faults. Everyone, you'll see fault everywhere. It says right in Bhagavad Gita, every endeavor is covered by some kind of fault. Therefore, you will see fault in that sense everywhere, even in the body of a pure devotee. But it's recommended, don't see like that. Don't see the body of a pure devotee like that. If you do, you're finished. No, he's not seeing fault. He's saying that Gopal Kumar went from one place to another because he was seeing fault. No, he was not seeing fault. Yeah, he was not satisfied because he wanted to be with Madan Gopal, and the incarnation that he was seeing, he could see Madan Gopal there, but not fully. So he wanted to be with Madan Gopal, so he kept going until he got with Madan Gopal. He was not finding fault. The proof of that is that wherever he went, his love for Madan Gopal increased. when he saw the incarnation of whatever, whoever, he saw Madan Gopal and his love for Madan Gopal increased. But there were things about the relationship between that incarnation, things about the process that did not completely satisfy him because it wasn't in relationship directly to Madan Gopal. And that's what he wanted. He was searching for Madan Gopal. When you see the faults of devotees, just ignore them and look for the good qualities and then glorify those good qualities. There's so many good qualities. We're addicted, actually. We're addicted to see the fault and speak about the fault. And we're addicted to ignore the good qualities and not speak about the good qualities of others. We're being brainwashed by so-called, you know, materialistic, you know, advanced, educated people. How to go to hell. Yes, sir. Which person?
Okay, I just want to describe. Okay, for example, saw some form. But he's a close person to you. He's a friend. And you actually would like to help. In that case, you also should know, like, good qualities and let you continue the education of the worship. He will be purified by the process. Or you can, how do you say, try to...
Yeah, it depends on relationship. I'm talking about in a general sense. What I said before was in a general sense. But if you have a relationship with a person, if you have friendship with a person, if you have a loving exchange, then to reveal your heart and to exchange, you know, how to improve, there has to be some understanding between you that that's what you're doing. That's not fault finding. That's not the same as fault finding. And if you're in a position, a position of authority, like, you know, he's a position of authority, he has the sanction to find a fault and to correct something in order for the service of the deities to become improved or in order for you to become improved. But at the same time, there has to be some relationship, there has to be some willingness, there has to be some faith. That's why it's the most offensive thing to talk behind the back about some authority. It's the most offensive thing. Because why? Because it undermines the faith. And as soon as the faith goes down in the atmosphere, then no one can associate properly with anyone. This is the most worst thing. It is the most violent thing that you can do, is to break the faith that a person has in another person. Because once that faith is broken, they can't hear anything. So faith needs to be nourished. And the way faith is nourished is described in the scriptures. Especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in Briya Bhagavatamrita. How the faith is nourished by the constant glorification, by the constant interaction of loving devotion among devotees, the faith is nourished. It means taking the instructions that Krishna gives as they are. Srila Prabhupada used to say, They say I've performed a miracle. Because, you know, he did something that no one else has done before. He said, I haven't performed a miracle. He said, I just did what my spiritual master asked me to do, sincerely. And Krishna did the miracle. I didn't do any miracle. Anyway, we know that he did. You know, because no one else could do that. But that's his mentality. And that's what we should do. We should follow in that footstep and develop that mentality. Not that we become fixed on some quality that we have or some special ability that we have and we develop that to the point where everybody will come to us and, you know, accept us as the guru in that way. Sometimes devotees who get into controversies, especially philosophical controversies like the, you know, like fall of the jiva or this or that, whatever it is. And, you know, they try to come up with something that no one else has said before. And that you have to accept in order to be able to go forward. It doesn't say like that in the Shastra. There's no acharyas who analyze it like that. But they're trying, because they want to be acharyas themselves. They try to look for that, you know, look for that new thing. This is the principle of Muni. Prabhupada used to describe that the Muni is one who's thoughtful, and in order to keep his stature as a Muni, he has to think something newer than anybody else's thought. He has to come up with something new. you know, our educational system in the West and in, I think in India the same. Now, modern education system, you know, the PhDs, they have to come up with a new thesis. And then they have to prove it. And then they have to put it forward before peer groups and have it get accepted. And then they are placed in a chair. Actually, what they're doing is becoming guru. They're becoming gurus in their own way, but in the wrong way, for the wrong reasons. And therefore, people aren't becoming enlightened and happier, and the world isn't becoming a better place as a result of that. So we have to avoid these pitfalls. These are all pitfalls on the process of devotional service. We have to avoid these pitfalls. We shouldn't try to become a good devotee so that we can become the acharya. These things should be bestowed upon us out of mercy from higher authorities. Just like I took this up again, right? I took it up again means I was this, had it before, and I stepped back. But then my godbrothers all said to me, look, you know, you're doing this, you're living the life, take it back up again. I went back and forth and back and forth, then it came down. So, anyway, Hare Krishna. Just a personal example. If you sincerely try, if you sincerely submit yourself to superior authorities and to devotional service and the holy name, according to your capacity, you will perfect yourself, all your desires will be fulfilled, everything. And you'll become effulgent like the Yadus and the Vrajavasis. I think we have to stop now. It's getting late. Hare Krishna.